The Yakima Basin, back in 1905, was home to water battles between people wanting to use the wealth of rivers and creeks available in the state of Washington. Today, groundwater has become the new battleground. Are the creeks and rivers connected to underlying groundwater aquifers? And if so, is there enough water to meet current demands? Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Born in Seattle and raised in Yakima Valley, Tom Tebb became a geologist and hydrogeologist that exposed him to consulting in the business world during his early career. Today, Tom is regional director of the Washington Department of Ecology in Yakima, Washington, and finds himself at the front lines of water controversy. He recognizes water as the lifeblood to the state of Washington and commits himself to finding solutions. Tom finds much social tension over usage of water for people in protecting the state's natural resources. Things aren't like they used to be. He's familiar with Washington history and very much involved in today's water policies and issues.
First of all, the Yakima Basin is kind of the context we're talking in, and it's a federalized basin. You know, we asked Congress back in 1905 really to come into the basin because we as citizens in 1904 were blowing each other's, you know, irrigation headworks up. We were fighting over water 100-plus years ago. So even then, you know, the resource had sort of kind of hit its limit. And so the notion that to bring the federal government into the project or to create the Yakima Project was to, one, develop reservoirs such that we could capture much of the mountain snow runoff and provide, if you will, additional capacity within the system to really make the desert bloom, which we have. The problem with that is it was very focused on surface water. What we're talking about now in most cases is groundwater, which is very junior to surface water, and we have never treated groundwater with the same sense of priority date that we do surface water use. The federal government came in 1905 and claimed all the water right in the basin. And in any water right after May 10th, 1905 is essentially junior, and so you are subject to curtailment in those circumstances when the federal government determines that we're in a drought or prorationing situation.
There's a whole process for predicting how much water will be available during the course of the year. Determination of who may or who may not be curtailed is made through this process. The difficult part is curtailment can be as much as 70%, which significantly impacts a needy farmer, cattleman, or municipality. The Department of Ecology wants to find a solution.
So there was this sense of fairness and inequity that wasn't kind of playing itself out in the real world that people wanted some relief from and some sense of. And that's where we began the process of saying, well, before we start creating new homes and building additional subdivisions and shouldn't we really take care of the problem that we have? And so we went through a process with the county of trying to say, look, we think that this is a problem. We think that continued development in this manner, basing it on the exemption, when you probably should get a water right, but oh, by the way, you won't get a water right in the Yakima Basin, is really kind of cheating. And so we went into the process of having long discussions with Kittitas County about those concerns. Fortunately, we were not successful coming up with some sort of compromise. And we ended up having to close the Upper Kittitas County because of basically taking a conservative posture on the resource until such time that we have some additional science that we've asked for from the USGS to tell us, okay, is there an issue here or not? And then and compound that, it is the headwaters of the Yakima Basin, one of the main arms, and it is also an ESA-listed area where we have salmon and steelhead and other important species that really use that area as, if you will, the incubator, a place to go when the salmon come back from the ocean. And so it's this whole idea of trying to protect and preserve what we have and enhance what we've sort of lost.
It is so important for the public to become involved in the public process. In fact, all people and groups are essential in guiding a process that incorporates the common thread that everyone is a part.
Even before we took our action in Upper Kittitas County, we were trying to engage the local government and locals to some intermediate step. You know, basically, look, we don't want you to use all 5,000 gallons. Maybe you could agree that you'd use something less. Well, while that's a novel idea, I think the county and others in the county felt like, well, really, legally, you probably can't do that. And I think they were right. We couldn't do that. Really, all we could do is tell that water is available or water is not available. So while we tried to come up with a compromise, pushing back on our notion of leave us alone and we'll do this, you know, ourselves, I think that kind of backfired in a way because we ended up having to say, well, you're right. We can't do something less and still allow you to develop. We're going to have to say no. And, you know, maybe in time we'll find an ability to kind of modify the exemption to allow a graduated approach based on a basin's particular situation. You know, the code was developed in 1945. It was a different era and a different notion around why people wanted a permanent exempt well. It's been a long time and patterns have changed. And so there's opportunity there, I think, to kind of seek both ways, both in terms of getting the public engaged in solution making and also trying to find remedies that kind of fit today's needs.
Adequate water to meet demand requires good watershed science and an ability to minimize the water demand that people and the environment place on the resource. Tom Tebb and his staff at the Washington Department of Ecology have the difficult task to find solutions. But it's the public that truly holds the key to solving the problem. Your voice and attention can change old laws to new. You can identify practical approaches that your particular vantage point can see and place it into the pool of ideas. And most importantly, your time spent with other water users will build a trust that makes the decisions that you make today sustainable into the future. Fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.